We kind of know the story of Job, but let me refresh your memory. Job was a wealthy man, huge flocks, big family, lots of land. In his life, everything had gone his way. And he was a good man, righteous and just. But in that way, that it's sometimes easy for people who, for whom everything goes right, you know, to be nice people. And then everything goes wrong. He loses his family, he loses his land, he loses his livestock. He's penniless. And of course, in those days, people thought that if disaster befell you, that was a punishment from God for your sin. And so Job has these three friends, and a lot of the book is about them trying to explain to him there must be something you did wrong, otherwise this wouldn't have happened to you. And Job just keeps professing his innocence. He says, I haven't done anything wrong. How is this fair? How can this happen? Looking for an answer, and that's what we always do when suffering comes our way. We look for some kind of an answer because we think if we had a reason, if we had some explanation, it would help us through the difficulty. And God's answer is what we heard in the first reading today. Were you there when I created the heavens and the earth? Were you there when I set the limits of the sea and said you can't cross this line, which is the shoreline? It's the creative act of God. In Genesis and throughout the Old Testament, there are these various stories and images about God creating, and it usually has something to do with water. Because water was symbolic, of course, of drowning. People were much more terrified of the sea even than we are now. And they had all these legends about the monsters of the deep, and the monsters were evil. And so water, in many ways, was a symbol of evil. And God rebukes the evil. God controls the evil. And he separates it from the sea from the dry land, creating a safe environment where humans can dwell. So God has been creating all through the generations, all through the billions of years. Creation was not just that six-day poetic expression that we read in the book of Genesis, but it's this voice of God, which is the sun, spoken over and over again. It's one long breath, which is the Holy Spirit, so that creation is ongoing, it's continuing to happen. But it often happens, in fact, almost necessarily happens through death. And so one of the ways we humans grow is through suffering. The presumption of the story here is that Job was a better man for having suffered. And of course, in the story, he gets back a new wife, new children, new lands, new cattle, everything, and then some. It's a story, okay? But the point of the story is that he had more after he had suffered. He was better after he had suffered. That death and resurrection is part of this whole long creation process, so that things die in the fall and they rise in the spring. One thing dies and another takes its place. The evolutionary process is so much about death and natural selection. All this is the creative act of God, and God understands better than we ever will that life has so much to do with death. So then we get to that second reading, and St. Paul is telling the Corinthians, something in you has died when you met Christ. Your old way of life, the old things have passed away, and new things have begun to happen. And this creative act of the Son forming you in his image and likeness is not something that was skirting around death or denying death, but was due to death. And so he died once for all, so that all who die might rise in him as well. Again, Paul understands that so well, that creation New creation, new life, has to come through death. And so we celebrate this in the liturgy over and over again. We commemorate the death of Christ here. And we identify with his deaths. We add our sufferings to that. We lay that on the altar along with him. We Christians, throughout the Christian life, we get it stronger and stronger, just like Job, that we have to die in order to rise. So then Jesus, the word spoken by the Father in that gospel story, rebukes the wind. He rebukes the sea. He's in control. He's God. He's the creator. And so he has absolute control over the wind and the sea. And that's what they say. Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? It's God. And Jesus is shown in various gospel passages as it being in control of the sea. You might remember that story about the demoniac, and the demons are taken out of him and put into the pigs, and pigs are evil in Jewish terminology, and so they run down into the sea and drown. So evil goes into evil, and Christ is in control of it all. He's the one who casts the demons into the pigs, sends them into the sea. In other words, the evil is done away with completely. Throughout history, theologians have often spoken of the church as a boat, as a ship, and it's tossed on stormy seas, and it undergoes the various trials and tribulations of the world, and there are various threats from outside and from within, because the church is made up of humans and we're sinners, and so there's been crises and there have been abuses, and you know, the history of the church is a speckled history. And how are we still here? Because Christ is at the stern. He's in control. And it seems like he's asleep. And St. Augustine gave a wonderful homily once where he says, it's not that Christ is asleep, it's that my faith is asleep. And so when I ask Jesus to wake up and say, are you not concerned that we're dying here? I'm awakening my own faith in him. Because Christ is always present. There's never a time when God isn't present. But we often aren't present to God. And so when we ask Jesus to wake up, like the psalmist in the Old Testament who says, where are you, God? Are you listening? Do you care? How long do we have to suffer before you're going to hear our distress? And it's not that God was ever absent from their distress, but that they weren't present to God. And so we come here Sunday after Sunday to do this memory, to reawaken our faith in him. And we say to him throughout our trials, wake up, Jesus. Do you not care? And he wakes up and says, calm down. How little faith you have. That's what he says to those disciples. Is that all the faith you have, that you don't think that I'm in the boat and you're safe? Jesus is in our boat and we're safe. No matter how bad it gets, nothing can conquer us completely, because Christ is our captain. He's the one steering the boat if we just trust him.